Hello and welcome to the Kent of the Dead podcast. Tonight we're talking about Terrifier from 2016, written and directed by Damien Leone. But we're joined by our very special guest, star of the film, Art the Clown himself, David Howard Thornton. We have an extremely great special guest with us here today, Mr. David Howard Thornton, known as Art the Clown from Terrifier. Say hello.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Yeah. Thank you so much again for taking the time to do this. We're very excited to go over Terrifier with you.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, we'll maybe include this here at the end, but have you wrapped already on Terrifier 2, or is that in progress?
That's in progress. Yeah, we had a little bit of a, you know, a slowdown because of the whole pandemic and everything, but yeah, we were almost done. So hopefully, like, once we can really open up again a lot more up here in New York, we can get back to finally finishing the rest of the film.
Gotcha. Awesome. That's great. Speaking of the whole pandemic and all that, what have you been doing to fill your time here?
A lot of video games and a lot of movies and TV.
Cool. Any highlights, any video games or films that you're especially digging right now?
Yeah, I've been I'm almost finished playing the Final Fantasy VII remake, which has been awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, I never got a chance to play the original one because I didn't have a PlayStation back in the day, so I'm really enjoying this. It's good. It's really good. Other than that, gosh, I've played like Borderlands 3, so much stuff, Control, all that kind of, is a lot of good, okay. A lot of good games out there. Dragon Quest XI, I went through all of that, put like over 100 hours into that game.
Wow, that's awesome. I know that you do voice work as well. Are you randomly playing any video games right now that you've done voice work for?
No, I haven't. I'm not playing anything that I right now that I've done work on. But, you know, that it's a very weird thing when you do play a game and you have to kill yourself in a game.
Oh, wow. I bet.
Yeah, it's very surreal.
Cool. Gotcha. Yeah. Awesome, man. So, okay. Here we are with Terrifier, which premiered in 2016, and the film starts off with a bang. We get this deformed guest here on this talk show that kind of takes out this host in her dressing room, and that kind of is a bookend to the end of the film, which we'll get into later on, but the film definitely starts off with a bang there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, definitely. Were you on set while that was being filmed?
No, I was not there that day, unfortunately, because they didn't need me. And, you know, it's like, if they don't need me, then why hang around? But unfortunately, it's Samantha that was, you know, the girl in the scene with all the makeup on. She had she was horribly sick that day, had a fever, all that. So she was having to wear all that makeup and do all that while just being basically delirious. So she
gotcha. That was Samantha. That was Samantha Scafidi.
Correct.
Gossip. Okay, cool. It's cool if you can't say or not. I feel like I've read somewhere online she's going to be making an appearance in the sequel. Is that correct?
That's what we're hoping.
Okay. Cool. We'll see. All right. So after that, the rest of the film gets into Halloween night with the two female stars of the film, Tara and Dawn, who are played by, who are played by Catherine
Corcoran.
Catherine Corcoran Dawn.
Yes.
And Jenna Connell. And then that is when they stumble across your character, the villainous and perfectly cast and perfectly like created Art the Clown. So tell me about how your audition process for this character.
It was interesting because I'm used to getting scripts when I audition for characters, and since Art doesn't talk, there was no script for me, and I was kind of freaked out because I walk into the room for the audition and I see all these other actors that are with scripts in their hands, and I started freaking out. I was like, oh no, I'm not prepared. Because this is my first time really auditioning for a major film role. So it's like, oh no, oh no. And I go in the room and I apologize. I'm like, oh no, you don't need one. You just art doesn't talk. So we just want you to improvise a scene where you gleefully decapitate someone. And I'm like, oh, okay, can I have a few minutes to think it over? And they're like, no, just go ahead and go. So I had to just
Wow.
on my feet make up a scene with Art decapitating a guy. So I did this whole thing where I like cartoonishly sneak up behind my victim, knock him out, take out a hacksaw, saw off his head, pick it up and taste it. Don't like the taste of it, so I put salt on it. And I like the taste.
Wow.
And then I just kind of, skip off on my merry way, and that's what got me the role.
Yeah, and you came up with that all on the
Yeah,
spot.
I don't know what's going on in
Wow.
my head.
Yeah. Cool. That's a pretty awesome experience. Yeah, wow. Let's see. So in the pizzeria you kind of creep the girls out as you
Oh
do.
yeah, as I do in real life too.
Were the actresses, were they on the vibe on the set, were they actually like feeling afraid of you, or is it a very playful environment?
Oh,
Did they mention any of that?
no, it was not. I would was not a method actor with this, so it was like as soon as they would say cut, we're joking around and having fun and stuff
Gotcha.
like
Okay.
that. Yeah, so I.
Yeah, that's what I like about horror movies. A lot of people think that there's the very like dark and serious things, but 95% of the time I feel like these sets are just full of like life and having fun, you
Oh
know?
yeah. Oh, you have to, or you would go insane, especially when you're having to get covered in copious amounts of blood over and over again. That's not the most comfortable thing. So you have to do things just to, keep morale up.
Okay, so while you're there, you're done creeping the girls out, and you're kicked out of the establishment by the pizzeria owner, and the girls they go to their car, after being somewhat thoroughly freaked out by you, or by your character, I should say. So they go to their car, and then or is that? I thought that was after or something else. Sorry, I'm looking over my notes
Oh, it's
here.
okay.
They end up going into an apartment to call for help. Is that's correct?
That
Yeah.
is, yeah, they discover that they have a flat tire that apparently Art slashed, and so they're And one of
Gotcha.
them has to pee. Tara has to pee, so she,
There we go.
yeah. So,
So now we're inside of our apartment building, which is our main set piece for this film, and where we can get to the gruesome stuff. Tell me about getting prepared in that makeup.
That usually takes about 3 hours to do because it's a mask that's glued to my face that's made of gelatin, and so that takes a while to do, and then Damien has to paint it and then add all the blood, because that's probably the hardest part, is having to match the blood splatters from scene to scene for continuity
Yeah, I
purposes.
bet.
We have to do a lot of photos of me just for those reasons, so we're always having to look at old footage and like, okay, where was the blood splatters at this point in the film? So yeah, it's a process, but that's how it goes. It takes about a 30 minutes to an hour to take it all off too, because there's all that glue I have to basically scrape off my skin.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it does
Dedication to
wonders
the
for
art.
the yeah, it does wonders for the pores.
Oh yeah. So when you're in your full getup for Art the Clown, how on average when you're on set, how many days are you in that thing? Or I'm sorry, how many hours are you
Ooh,
in that?
I've had days where I've been in that costume and the makeup for over 12 to, like, I would say sometimes upwards to 20 hours, just depending on how
Gotcha,
much we had to
gotcha.
get done that day.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's some serious dedication
Oh yeah,
there.
and it's more of a dedication for Damien than it is me, because he's having to direct it all, but he also has to get there with me because I have to always show up early, so he has to get there early too to put on my makeup, and he also has to spend time afterwards making the makeup and the prosthetics for the next day. So, I mean, there have been days where Damien hasn't had sleep for 2 or 3 days because of, how whatever he has to deal with. So it's just like I don't know how he functions.
Wow. That's Damien. Is it Damien? I haven't heard it said in an interview yet. Is it Damien Leone or Damien Leone?
Leone.
Leone. Okay,
Yes.
cool. If you don't mind me asking, what's your relationship with him? Is it like brotherly or is it very businesslike
Oh
or?
gosh, we've gotten so close. He's like another brother to me now. Because we spend so much time with me in that makeup chair. So we've really, I've spent well over 100 hours just in the makeup chair along with Damien. So we've gotten to know each other very well.
That's
Yeah, we're
awesome.
very
Okay,
close.
cool. Very nice. Cool. So getting into the movie. So back into the movie here. So, I believe it's Tara. She encounters Art inside the building, and he pursues her through the building there. And eventually, there's a nice cat and mouse game of him trying to grab her. He eventually grabs her and then bounds her to a chair, and then he already has her friend Dawn tied up, and suspended upside down in the film. And this to me, like, it was one of the craziest scenes I've ever seen. Like, there's no way they're gonna do what I think they're about to do in this film. Like, it's just not done. At least from most of the horror films I see, it's just not done to this extent. Tell me how it was filming that scene with for those who haven't seen the film yet, a character essentially gets sawed in half by Art the Clown here, and it's awesomely done, splendidly done special effects. Can you tell us, a little bit about it?
It was a tough scene to film because we it took a few it was filmed over a course of a few months too, because we had to film all the stuff with Jenna Connell first, because she had to go film the Bye Bye Man. She like literally left our set, and 2 days later was on set with Doug Jones on Bye Bye Man. So we had to,
Oh, wow, that's
yeah,
awesome.
oh, it was amazing. I was jealous.
Yes.
But yeah, she so we had to film all of her stuff first, and then that was in one location in Trenton, New Jersey, and then we had some snafus with that location, so we had to find a new location. And so when we first started to film in the new location on Staten Island, which is at an abandoned mental hospital, the first night we were supposed to film there, we go in and discover that the room had flooded due to a horrible snowstorm, and so we had to postpone filming for 2 weeks. So we came back in those 2 weeks later, and it was in January at this point, so it was 20 degrees that night,
Oh
and there
boy.
was no heat in there. And so that was just miserable for me alone, but for Catherine especially, because she's, in such a very vulnerable state of undress and having to hang upside down,
Correct.
and then he got all that cold blood just having to run down her constantly. It was miserable. It was also a challenge to film too, because we could only film 30 seconds at a time, because we only let her hang upside down for 45 seconds and we'd swing her back up. So we had to film in short bursts. And it's just the power of editing that Damien did there. And then we also had a prosthetic dummy that I got to actually saw through as well. So yeah, so we had to
Well, that's
splice all
awesome.
of that together into one scene. So it shows the power of of a good editor.
And Damien does all of that himself as
He
well, right?
does. He does. He That's actually one of his favorite parts to do, is the editing. He loves editing.
He's it seems like a man of many talents there between all the hats he wears for his
He
filmmaking.
truly is. You don't really see a lot of directors out there like that, that don't just write it, but they direct it, and they also do all the practical effects themselves. I mean, he wears so many hats.
Hats off to him. So you mentioned Doug Jones. I'm assuming you're an admirer of his.
Oh, very much so.
We are here too at this podcast. Can you name like some of your just actors that you look up to or actors that you follow their career or that you wouldn't mind working with
Oh yeah,
sometime?
well of course Doug. I mean, he's one of the the bigger ones for me. I was like, I would love to play his son or something like that, something one day. I think that would be
Yeah.
awesome.
I could totally see
Yeah.
that.
Plus, he's such a
Yeah.
sweetheart in real life. I just absolutely adore Doug. I've gotten to meet him and hang out with him, and he's just wonderful. I absolutely adore him. I would love to work with him. Other than that, I would say a lot of inspiration for me. I grew up doing comedy, so like I'm big into the physical comedian. So I grew up on the old great silent film actors like Chaplin, Marx Brothers, and Buster Keaton. But
Gotcha.
also a big fan of Jim Carrey from back in the day. He was a big
Of
influence on
course.
me. Rowan Atkinson, who was Mr. Bean, was a huge
Yep.
influence on me.
Yep.
And then I toured with How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical, for 5 years, and I was the understudy for the Grinch in that, as well as Grandpa Who. But our Grinch was Stephen Carl, who was Robbie Rotten on the show called Lazy Town that was on Nick Jr. And
Okay.
he was an amazing physical comedian. He really took me under his wing and really mentored me and helped, help me perfect my craft. And unfortunately, he passed away 2 years ago from cancer, which was that was a loss. That was a loss because I mean, I really felt like his star was on the rise, and he was one of those actors that was just so tremendously talented. He deserved that recognition. So I tried to give him as much props as I can, and I would say I put a lot of what he taught me into art as well. So, but those are the people I admire.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a heck of a list. Those are all, great, great people to look up to there. When you mentioned Chaplin, City Lights is one of my top 10 favorite films of all times. That's a great one there. Fast forwarding in Terrifier here. There's a crazy cat lady that shows up. I believe that's what she's billed at in the cast there, just crazy cat lady.
Correct.
Who Let's see. Tara comes across. No. I'm sorry. It's a janitor. A janitor comes across her, and then he just kind of just dismisses her as crazy, which comes up for a nice scare, later on in the film. Meanwhile, we have Tara who calls her sister Vicky, to come and get her. That she needs to be saved. So Vicky is on her way down. And then when she gets there, she sees that Tara's been, hurt. And then she sees a figure who it actually turns out is you, Art the Clown.
Yes.
You've taken out the cat lady, and you're wearing essentially her like as a bodysuit.
Yeah. You actually missed
Yeah.
something important there. She didn't find out her sister was hurt. She found out her sister was killed.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Art gets the best of Tara, where Tara starts wailing on him and he pulls out a gun and shoots her.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. Yeah. Okay. But oh yeah, that's right. Because by this time, Vicky is by herself
Correct.
there. And then she is getting chased there. You're right. I
Oh, it's
apologize.
okay.
I've seen this film like I don't know at least 8 or 9 times, but when I came down to take the notes, I was like more I don't know. My notes are all chicken scratcher. I
Oh,
apologize.
don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't worry.
We have the character of Vicky in there, who is now getting chased by Art, and then Art ends up getting her and attacking her with a made up cat of nine tails. Is
Yeah,
that correct?
it's a his
Yeah.
I like to think that is his like specialty weapon. It's like every horror villain has some kind of weapon that's their own. Like, Freddy has his glove, Leatherface has his chainsaw, Michael Myers has the knife, Jason has machete. The flail, the cat of nine tails, is Art's special weapon, I think.
That's good to know. I like that. Okay, the cat of nine tails. All right. Let's see here.
Oh, fun fact about the cat of nine tails. It is, of course, made with all these different types of blades and everything, but the ropes holding them all together are not ropes. He's used human hair from his victims to make those ropes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, who, how did that prop come about? Was that all Damien's idea?
Yeah, that was all Damien.
Gotcha. Okay. Nice. That's pretty cool. Made up of the hair there.
Yeah.
So fast forwarding a little bit, into the end of the movie there. So Art eventually, gets Vicky, and then he begins to essentially eat her face.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, tell me about like the filming of that scene. Was that, pretty fun to do, or how did that go down?
That was actually a fun night because we had the truck that goes barreling through the door and slams into her. And so our producer Phil was our stunt driver that night. He did that in one take. He actually drove a truck through a door. And we actually had a dummy of Victoria set up that was actually hit by the truck, but you didn't see it because it just looked so fake. It just looked so fake. There was like, there's no way that's going to look real on screen. So we just decided to just like show her afterwards, where you can just put two and two together that she had been hit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, as we're getting near the end of the film here, the police arrive to capture you. I gotta stop saying you, to capture Art the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, to not be, you know, up, you know, shown up, Art shoots himself in the head.
Yeah.
So boom, there you go. You're not going to get me.
Yep.
That was a crazy twist in the movie I did not see coming. And then that led to, again, one of the highlights, one of the main reasons why I love this movie, mm-hmm. is the ending. So, Art's body is taken to a morgue. And then there's a really funny scene there with a mortician, mm-hmm. and it's Halloween night and he's cracking one-liners. I really just like the vibe of the actors in that scene. And then the lights, this is what I love, because some movies start off as a straight, realistic set horror film, which is kind of how this one started off to me.
Right.
And then by the end, some of them, and especially this one, they kind of trail off into this almost supernatural area, which these lights in the mortician room start flickering off and on, leading you to believe there's something maybe, you know, more than meets the eye going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then Art reanimates and then strangles the mortician to death. how was that scene to film?
Oh, that was fun. That was actually a scene we added in later on. We did our first screening in 2016 at Telluride Horror Festival, and the audience wanted more, so we added that scene at the end. It originally just ended with Victoria being revealed to be, like, you know, the girl at the beginning of the film. The audience wanted more, and so, like, well, we have to put some kind of stinger on there to let them know that there's going to be a sequel. So, like, okay, well, what can we do? So we added that scene in there, and it was a lot of fun to film. We actually filmed that in a real morgue too.
Wow.
So that's awesome. But I will say that I'm glad to hear that you like that scene. You're going to love how part two begins then.
Okay, awesome. Good to know. I'm getting more and more pumped for Terrifier 2 by the day.
Yes. No idea what you're in store for.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen anything yet, man. Oh, man.
I'm excited.
Oh, I am too. I am so stoked.
So, let's see. As you were mentioning here, Vicky, you know, the girl that gets her face chewed off there near the end. Actually, I'm so sorry. Let me back up. Mm-hmm. I had no idea there was a different ending. So when the way that I was introduced to this movie, mm-hmm. As I'm sure a lot of other folks out there have been, is through, you know, this little startup called Netflix.
Yes.
That's how I was.
A little that's startup. How I was
introduced to this movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's quaint.
Yeah, yeah. It's very humble.
Yes.
How long, so I know the movie premiered in 2016, how long did it have, the different ending not set in the morgue?
Well, we decided to go back and reshoot that in early 2017. And then we did some screenings, like some different festivals and everything, and later on in 2017. And it was they loved that, so we kept that in there after that. But we really officially, I would say we officially came out in like March of 2018 on like DVD and all that and the streaming platforms.
Gotcha. Before that was just like the festivals and
Yeah.
such.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay, cool. So the end of this film, it's with Vicky being released from the hospital after recovering from her injuries from Art the Clown, and it's revealed that she's the character, the disfigured woman at, from the very beginning of the movie, bookending this movie. And it kind of shows her going a little insane, and it's pretty awesome.
Correct.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see when and if she makes an appearance here in Terrifier 2. We will see. I don't know if it'll be. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
You'll see, you'll see.
Yeah, speculation. So that's Terrifier for the most part. Let me ask you just a couple quick questions about the horror genre in general. So right now, I feel like we're going through this awesome revival of these like clown characters. Of course, there's Pennywise from It. You, of course, as Art the Clown from Terrifier. I feel like, why do you think there's this resurgence right now in like these insane clown characters?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just they're fun characters to watch, and it's because clowns are always kind of fun and amusing in their own way. So I think that's what it is. It's just it's funny though, because like when Damien was first shopping Terrifier around before we even started filming it, people were turning it down, and that's before it came out, because we started filming in 2015, and people were turning it down because they thought that a clown film, a clown horror film, was just not going to fly. And Damien's like, oh, it will, trust me, you're about to have it coming out in a few years, it's gonna start taking off. And he had his Damien's always kind of had like his finger on the pulse of the industry. He knows what people want to see. It's just like it's the big studio executives that aren't really true fans themselves. They don't understand what the fans really want to see.
Yeah, they're just looking at numbers and
Yeah.
statistics and thinking, oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun for us and it to, prove them wrong. Be like, yeah, people want to see these.
I mean, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Speaking of, so it's kind of speaking of deranged clown characters, I just a real quick sidebar here. There's the Joker from the the DC
Oh,
Comics
of
Batman
course.
universe. I know that you did some work on Gotham. Is
Yes,
that correct?
I did. I was in one episode in the fourth season.
Okay. Did you how can you tell me just a little bit about that
Yeah,
experience?
it was a lot of fun. I mean, I really wanted to be like a main villain on Gotham, because I'm like, that's like my ultimate dream role is to play the Joker on like a TV series. But oh well, that didn't happen, at least on that. But at least on Gotham, I got to play a character where I created one of the villains. I was the orderly that dumps Butch Gilzean slash Cyrus Gold's body into Slaughter Swamp, who becomes Solomon Grundy. So that was kind of fun. So I got to play this really skeezy, sleazy like guy that's paid off by the mob, and it was a lot of fun.
Gotcha. Yeah, cool. Did you get a chance to work with Ben McKenzie at all?
No, I did not. I got the only person I really got to work with from the main cast was Drew Powell, who played Butch. And Drew was
Okay,
just,
yeah.
he was a great guy. Such a great guy to work with,
Yeah,
though.
yeah.
He's a
Yeah,
big
his
teddy bear
arc.
in real life.
I bet. Yeah, that the arc he has through that Gotham series is pretty great.
Yeah.
I think it what projects do you have? I know again with the shutdown, it kind of slows the process of anything,
Yeah.
but is there any projects coming out soon for
Yeah,
you?
well, of course, we've got Terrifier 2 that we're still working on. And after that, I'm going to be working with some of the same people from Terrifier 2, their Fuzz in the Lens guys. He was one of them was our exterminator that I decapitated in Terrifier, and the other two were the cops. They have their own film
Okay.
company, and they're we're going to be filming a another horror film that we hope is going to become a franchise called Scream later on this fall. And we're already getting some bigger names in the horror industry and the film industry attached to that as well right now. So that's very exciting. I wish I could tell you more about it, but it's a cool concept. I'm very excited about it. And yeah, I get to play another silent character in that one too, at least for this one. We'll see what happens in the future ones. But then after that, I'm going to be filming a, hopefully next year, I'm going to film a horror Western called Spirit Reckoning. Okay. And I'm going to be playing the good guy in that one. He's actually the anti-hero, though, I guess you could say. He's a cowboy that's, he and his family are killed by these outlaws, and he's burned and hung, and he's brought back from the dead by an Indian shaman for revenge. And so he goes on a quest for revenge, and he's known as the Skull Cowboy because his face is burned off, so it's like this decrepit skull that's still there. So it's very over the top, crazy kills, and it's a lot of fun. And they got Lou Temple already attached to it, and Sean Patrick Flannery from the Boondock Saints attached to it as well. So, yeah, that's gonna be a fun one to do as well. And I got a voiceover project that I'm gonna be working on soon too, but I can't divulge that as well. So,
okay, yeah no problem. I'm assuming for that Western, you're gonna be
in. Yeah, Mexico. Yeah. That's going to be interesting. See, I'll probably have to do a lot of ADR work for that because it's because, yeah, they'll probably have, we'll see. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of makeup involved for that.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. Well, that is awesome. Well, that is pretty much all that we have here for this show. I thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the Kent of the Dead podcast. We're looking very much forward to Terrifier 2 and all your future projects. You're just a talent that we just love here. So again, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me, and thank you to all you listening right now as well for supporting our film. It's just you guys have made it possible for us to be able to do more films, and I genuinely cannot wait for you all to see what we have cooked up for Terrifier 2 because we have gone above and beyond. I think we're taking everything to the next level on this film, and you are not going to be disappointed at all.
And there we have it. That is our conversation and interview with David Howard Thornton. He was an extremely humble guest here, and we cannot thank him enough for making the time to speak to us here at the Kent of the Dead podcast. Feel free to follow Mr. David Howard Thornton on Instagram at David Howard Thornton. And also make sure to follow us here at Kent of the Dead. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kent of the Dead. Please feel free to rate and review this episode on your respective podcast. And thank you for listening. May the horror be with you.